How do you do? Remember the Playboy Bunny, mid-century female icon, bane of the feminists? The woman in the following story was one for 6 years. Now, forget your preconceived notion of why she chose this profession. She had been searching for something all of her life, and this was just another avenue to explore. This is the true story of Terry Henry and what she found when her heart and mind and life were unshackled. Bearing the light of the world through dramatic true life stories, this is Unshackled, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Many lost souls have come to Pacific Garden Mission since the doors first opened in 1877, and the doors have never closed in all those years, and neither have the hearts of those who minister here. Men, women, and children find refuge from an uncaring world at the old lighthouse. More than 500 people find shelter any given night, receiving food, clean clothing, and a safe place to sleep. And with the temperature dropping, the numbers rise even higher. The mission's medical and dental clinic is also free to those in need, thanks to the generosity of caring friends and listeners. The mission also offers Bible classes and counseling, pastors who shine the light of truth into the spiritual darkness that keeps people in bondage. And those who choose to follow the light find new life forevermore. And now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 2555 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
My father died when I was 5 years old, leaving mother to raise my two sisters, my brother, and me. We were poor because mother could only work part-time and didn't manage money very well. Mom always said that I was different from the other children, always had my nose stuck in a book. I sought knowledge of God as my goal in life, which helped me get a scholarship to a private boarding school in Kansas my last 3 years of high school. I longed to be like the people I read about, people with high moral standards and purpose. I was an honor student in high school, but eventually became very disillusioned with formal religion. Later, I attended one semester of college in Fort Worth, Texas, but due to financial pressure at home, I had to get a job. My sister, Mary, had come back home to live because her husband was physically abusive.
Mary, did your husband call again?
I'm not talking to him. It's over for good.
You think he'd hit you again?
Oh, he is unbelievable. He didn't even care that I'm pregnant now.
Oh.
Look at these bruises.
Oh, so what are you going to do?
Terry, I don't know how I'll cope with a baby alone, but anything is better than living with him.
Oh, Terry, could you try to get a full-time job? We could use the money.
Mom, I want to go back to college next year.
Well, we have so many bills now. We never hear from your brother, Dave.
I can't earn very much without a degree.
Well, you could be a secretary or something.
Doesn't pay much, Mom, but sure, I can help out.
My older brother had joined the Marines, so it was just us four women at home. I worked to help support my family, but I still loved to read and wonder about my purpose here on Earth. I was the only family member who sought for answers to life's questions. Somehow I knew there was more to life than working and having a family, but what? Something was missing in my life, and I tried several jobs before applying for a position with an airline.
Mary, look at this. It's a telegram from the airline.
I hope it's good news.
Oh, they want me to report to Redondo Beach, California for training.
California?
Oh, wow,
I wish I could go.
I've got to be a stewardess. Oh, wait till Mom hears about this.
I get to travel to places I've only dreamed about.
Well, how are you supposed to get there?
Oh, they'll have a ticket waiting for me at the airport.
Oh, well, we'll miss you, Terry. You know, we have a lot of expenses with the baby and all. Now, I can't work, and you know Mom.
Mom. While in training, Mother called because she was broke, so I promised to send money home after each pay period. After training, I was based in Chicago and shared an apartment near the airport with Peggy, another flight attendant. It was fun meeting people from all over the world, even movie stars, but there was a downside.
Better hurry, Terry. We're about to land.
Oh, these people who make demands at the last minute. Come on.
Everything's stowed. Sit down and fasten your seatbelt. Not as glamorous as we thought, huh?
If the pay were more, I'd like it better.
You can always do what Isabel did. Quit and go to work at the Playboy Club. She's earning 5 times as much as we are.
Really?
Yes.
That much? Boy, I could use the money.
You should go for an interview when we get back to O'Hare.
Oh, they'd never hire me.
Why not? You're young and pretty.
Another friend went with me to apply for a job as a Playboy bunny. I was scared. I was sure they'd never hire me, but the woman in charge asked me to come back the following week, and I was hired. I called my sister Mary, and she came later. She was hired also. And when Gloria, our younger sister, came to Chicago, she was hired too. At that time, we were the only 3 sisters ever to work there together. It was exciting and glamorous for the first few months. But soon I began to hate the phoniness of it all. I still preferred a good book to wild parties.
Hey, gorgeous. Guess what? My name is also Terry.
Nice to meet you, Terry.
Hey, do you suppose people will get us mixed up, having the same first name? On second thought, I don't have a cute little bunny tail like you.
What can I get for you, Terry?
You could meet me at the club across the street when you get off work.
Well, you certainly move fast.
I have to with a beautiful girl like you.
Well, let me get your drinks while I think about it.
Did you see who was sitting at my table? That actor we saw on TV last night.
I'm more interested in the guy at my table. He wants to meet me after work.
Are you going to go?
I don't know, maybe.
Oh, why don't you go? It beats reading a book.
I don't really like hanging around bars, Mary. It's bad enough I do it for a living.
Oh, come on, Terry. Live a little.
I fell madly in love with Terry in less than a month, and we were soon sharing an apartment together. We stayed together because I loved him, and our arrangement was convenient for him. Since I worked nights, he could do his own thing. After several years, though, I began to suspect he was being unfaithful to me.
Hey, drop this stuff off at the dry cleaners on the way to work, will you, Beth?
Sure. What's this, Terry?
What?
Lipstick on your collar?
That was Jack's dumb girlfriend. She, you know, had too much to drink, and she kind of got goofy.
I'm supposed to believe that?
What's that supposed to mean?
I've heard how you're messing around with other women.
Hey, there's a green-eyed monster lurking behind those big brown eyes.
Is it too much to expect faithfulness?
Hey, listen, you're cute when you get mad, babe, but don't overdo it.
Have you heard of integrity? You know, where you keep your word.
Oh, and that's why you're a bunny, huh?
Oh, I hate my job. I only stay with it because of the money.
Listen to what you're saying, Terry. And don't talk to me about integrity.
Oh, you're really cruel. You are selfish and cruel.
Terry, can you help me with this order? I need to talk to Craig for a minute.
What am I, everybody's doormat?
I'm sorry, Terry. I'd help you if you asked.
But I never ask, do I? I pull my own weight.
What's wrong with you?
I am just tired of people taking advantage of me.
Well, nobody's taking advantage of you.
Oh, no? I'm beginning to think everybody is out for himself. Integrity is non-existent.
I don't know what's eating you, but you have a real attitude problem.
Terry often became physically abusive when confronted, and I became more and more unhappy and confused, prone to tears and emotional outbursts. I felt trapped in a life I hated. I lashed out at everyone around me. And yet, how could I leave? What else was there?
As we'll hear in a moment, Terry had a lot to learn. Christmas at Pacific Garden Mission means 500 or 600 homeless people dreaming of a special present, something new for a change, something just for them. Would you like to help them make their dreams come true? It costs so little but means so much to have a new pair of gloves or hat, a new set of underwear or socks, a new book or toy for a child. Toiletries are always welcome, a shirt if you can afford it. Buy for a man, woman, or child. God always works it out. We have so many guests of all ages and all sizes that anything you send will fit someone, just as long as it's new. The rest of the year we give them clean but used clothing. Christmas is special, and your gift will help them understand God's love given freely even though we do nothing to deserve it. And no need to wrap your gift. Volunteers do that after counselors help match it to the right person. But wrapping paper and ribbon can be included. Bring joy to someone's life and send what you can to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
Terry and I had been together for 5 years when his best friend got married to a beautiful, intelligent woman. She and I became good friends.
Look at those two, Terry. My husband is shamelessly flirting with that girl. He just can't be faithful.
Neither can Terry. He's been dating a 17-year-old.
Can you believe it? How did you find out?
She came to me. Said I was standing in their way.
You're kidding.
Mm-mm. Oh, it made me feel sick. She said, Terry loves me, so why do you keep holding on to him when he doesn't love you?
Oh, what did you do?
I invited her to come to our apartment at 8 when I know he'll be there. I told her we'd find out how he really feels about us.
You mean you're going to confront him?
Oh, no. I told her I'll let her in and hide her in the entry closet and then ask him about her. We'll see what he says.
How clever.
I'll just let him cook his own goose.
Slip into this closet and don't say anything. I'll leave the door ajar.
Terry?
I'm in the living room.
Hey, I think I'm going to go out for a while with the guys.
Terry, why are you messing around with that 17-year-old girl? Do you really love her like she says you do?
Of course not. There's nothing between us but her infatuation.
You mean you don't love her at all?
No, I just let her hang around me. She's just a kid. How could I love her? You know I love you.
How can you be like that? What about truth and honor? Don't they mean anything to you? I became very depressed over his unfaithfulness and my shabby response of letting a stranger in to eavesdrop. In my despair, I cried out to the Jesus I never knew, my first prayer in 9 years. Jesus, if you are real, please help me out of this degrading lifestyle. Give me a husband who will love me and want to come home to me. Hello?
Terry, how did it go last night?
Oh, it went the way I planned, but I feel terrible.
It amazes me that you've stayed with him this long.
Connie, it's hard to leave someone you love.
Yeah, tell me about it. But I've decided to leave Jack.
You have?
I'm moving to California. Hey, why don't you come along and we'll make a new start?
That's probably the only way I'll ever get free of Terry. Just pick up and leave.
Well, start packing.
We threw our things in my brand new car and drove to California, where we rented an apartment in Santa Monica. During this period, for the first time, I began to use acid. For a while, Connie and I worked at a popular restaurant, and I met some well-known people in the film industry, but I wasn't interested in dating or playing games. More coffee, Connie?
No, thanks. I've had enough. You were kind of rude to that poor actor last night. I don't blame him for walking out on you.
Yeah, I know. And worse yet, I don't even care. I still hurt inside, Connie.
Believe me, I know. But you have to get over him, Terry. 6 years of your life is enough to waste. If you're rude to every man who's interested in you, you'll end up frustrated and bitter. Besides, one of them might be a gem.
I wonder.
Jack wants me to come back to Chicago and try again. I think I'll go.
I hope it works out for you, Connie. I don't know what I'm going to do. I moved to San Francisco, where I met Jerry. I was in college again and still not interested in men, but he was different, and he won me by his steadfast love. In 1970, less than a year later, we were married and living in Oregon, where we started a business and built a home. I didn't even stop to think that God may have answered my prayer. Jerry worked hard as a general contractor, but we backpacked all over the mountains and spent weekends at the beach, where he would build a fire with logs that washed ashore. We enjoyed getting high together.
You want another joint, honey?
Oh, no, I've had enough.
Boy, it sure helps me relax after a hard day's work. Mm.
It's so beautiful here, Jerry. Away from everyone and everything.
Oh, look at that sunset reflected on the water. Mm. Spectacular.
Oh, you have made me so happy. I didn't know love could be like this.
You're easy to love, honey.
Sometimes your love for me makes me think about God. Especially when we're together and we see his beauty everywhere. Like here.
I don't know much about religion, but there has to be a God somewhere who started all this. The universe is too well planned to be an accident.
All my life I wanted to know God. Personally, the way I know you, Jerry, I have read so many books about people who seem to connect with him, but I never have. I'm still searching.
Well, let me know when you find him. He's somebody I ought to know.
Our business was successful, and for the next 7 years, we were blissfully in love, wrapped up in each other. 1 year, we traveled to Hawaii on vacation. But all that success and even our love for each other didn't fill the emptiness inside.
Sure was a great trip to Hawaii, wasn't it?
Yes, but it's hard to get back to business, isn't it?
Yeah, we have a lot of calls to answer. Yeah, I don't mean to complain, but is this all there is? Shouldn't there be something more?
What do you mean, something more?
I mean, you read about famous people ending their lives. Even with all that money and fame, they're not happy. What's it all about, anyway?
I've been trying to find the answer to that all my life, Jerry.
Yeah, well, I'd better get going.
I'm going downtown today. There's a swami there that has a metaphysical meeting every Tuesday for people interested in Eastern religion.
Are you getting into that?
Why not? I've never met a real live swami before. While waiting for the swami at the ashram, I thought about how long I had wanted to know God, and tears began rolling uncontrollably down my face. I couldn't stop weeping, even when he approached down the long hallway. He wore a saffron robe.
Why do you weep?
I don't know. I can't stop.
Come this way. We can talk in here. Please, sit down. Tell me about your life and how you heard about us.
I've always wanted to know about God, ever since I was a little girl. I read everything I could, but I still don't know him. Perhaps you can help me.
I'll give you some books to read, and we can meet again in a few days.
Should I come to the meetings that you have?
No, that won't be necessary.
Oh, why?
Because you're special. You're too advanced for the meetings. You're a lover of God.
Oh, do you mean like the Christian mystics?
Yes. There are those in every religion with more intuitive feelings for God.
When I was a youngster, I was taught that Jesus said, "I am the way,
the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Oh, they all say that. Even my own ascended master. Oh. It doesn't mean anything.
Oh. Every time I visited the Swami, I wept uncontrollably and couldn't understand why. My third visit, he had me sit opposite a picture of his ascended master. That night, as my husband and I went to a movie, a strange thing happened. I had a vision of the Swami's ascended master that was so real it terrified me. I never again went back to see him because I didn't trust him after that. He was different from one of the workers at our business.
Miss Henry, somehow we got one more box of these here roofing shingles than we paid for. I reckon you ought to let them know.
Thank you, John. I will.
Wouldn't want to see some poor soul get their payback for making a mistake.
You have such integrity, John. That's rare these days.
You can't put nothing over on the Lord, so you might as well be straight with people. The good book says we should do unto others as we would have them do unto us.
You read the Bible, John?
Every day. Like the psalmist said, thy words have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee.
I've read so many books about people who seemed to know God personally. Do you think that's possible, John?
Miss Henry, Jesus is the best friend you could ever have. He already knows you inside and out. You get to know him by reading the Bible.
I began to meet more and more people who were Christians, who either talked about the Lord or quoted the Bible. One day, Jerry and I were browsing in a bookstore.
What have you got there?
A Bible. Isn't it beautiful?
You going to buy it?
Well, I don't know. I haven't read one in a long time.
Yeah, I've never read one.
Some other time, maybe.
Honey, look, you've picked that up several times now. If you want to buy it, go ahead and buy it. You can read it to me.
Maybe I will. That would be fun. The next Saturday, rain kept us inside, so Jerry asked me to read something from the Bible. I started in Luke's Gospel and read several chapters.
What was that he said?
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.
I've never heard anyone say things like that.
No one ever did. Oh, Jerry.
What is it?
When the guards tried to arrest Jesus, they came back empty-handed and said, here it is, John chapter 7, never man spake like this man.
He's so awesome.
It's true, Jerry. It's all true. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
That's in the Bible?
John 3:16. I thought everybody knew that verse.
I never knew any of this, but it's wonderful.
I should have known. And now I do. The Bible is true. Jerry, Jesus is God. He died to save us, and he rose from the dead.
Keep reading, okay?
Listen to this, Jerry. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life.
That's all you have to do? Let me see. Terry, somehow, seeing it in print like that makes it even more powerful. He that believeth on me, I believe. You believe too, don't you?
Yes, I do. I do. Oh, Jesus, forgive me for being such a fool. Forgive me for not living the way you told us to in your word. With your help, I'll change. I'll never touch drugs again. Lord, I surrender my life to you. We both prayed that day without ever having heard the words, born again. But that's what happened to us as we read the Bible together that rainy Saturday. The next morning, Jerry was up early, turned on the TV, and began listening to a preacher we'd never paid any attention to before. He woke me up to come and listen to.
Jesus said, "You must be born again to see the kingdom of God." We come into this world without the Spirit of God. That's why we're blind to His truth. That's why we sin, because we're separated from God. And there's no way to reach Him, no way except the cross, because God says the penalty for sin is death. So the first step in being born again is to admit you're a sinner. Agree with God. He says, there is none righteous. No, not one. When you believe that Christ died for your sins, God forgives you. Then, just as Christ rose from the dead, you rise with Him to eternal life. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me.
That glorious day in 1978, Jerry and I knelt in the living room and prayed again, asking God to forgive us. We invited Christ to come into our hearts and give us a new life. And did He ever? I've been filled with joy unspeakable ever since, and Jerry is a bold witness for the Lord. My desire to know God is a reality. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
Listening friend, you too can have the peace that passes all understanding, the inner peace that comes with knowing your sins are forgiven, your guilt washed away by the blood of Christ. The greatest peace of all comes from a personal relationship with God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest friend you will ever have. If He is not yet your Savior, invite Him into your heart and life right now. And if you need help in this crucial decision, you're invited to get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. This is program number 2555. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Your letter is more important than you know, so please write and tell us you listen. We look forward to hearing from you. Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Need counsel? You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.